always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers creator for Offside, joined on this fine Wednesday morning. Well, no, it is Wednesday afternoon my time, Wednesday late morning your time if you guys are on the West Coast. Today on the show, we are going to be talking about Austin Reeves's contract, which he came to terms on in an official way that could be leaked today or reported on today. So we'll talk about that and kind of the run-up to it and some of the details going on behind the scenes there. We'll talk about the fallout from last night as the Lakers took Cameron Carr. They finally officially announced that acquisition this morning. So we will talk about him as a prospect and as a player and somebody who the Lakers, if he works out, would be a real shot in the arm for the Lakers from a talent perspective. We will talk about tonight's second round, where I am told that the Lakers are trying really hard to get into that second round using the leftover cash, or at least some of the leftover cash that they had from paying to move up a spot yesterday. We'll also update you guys on the Lakers' search for a center as that continues. And then, as always, if you guys have any questions over the course of the show or there towards the end of it, I will get to as many of those before we pop on out of here. As a reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please subscribe to the show here on YouTube and in podcast form. Today's show, as are all of our shows here on this channel, is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get and make a $5 lineup of your own, and then you will get $50 worth of free lineups from Prize Picks. And yeah, let's go ahead and dive on in. We have a ton to get to. So as it stands right now, the biggest story facing the Lakers is the contract that Austin Reeves signed, or at least came to terms on. I don't believe he's officially signed it because of the cap machinations and stuff like this. This won't be officially carried out until basically the rest of the Lakers offseason is carried out. But it is a 4-year, $185 million contract with a player option on that fourth year for about $51 million. It starts at about $41 million this year, which is 25% of the cap. And I know that there are going to be people in our comment section. I'm sure I can scroll through here and find some people who are not going to be thrilled about that number. But the Lakers, I'm told, are really excited to have Austin back at that number. Obviously, Austin is very excited to have to be back at that number. And I, frankly, am back to have Austin, or I'm happy to have Austin back, even if that number is, you know, maybe a little bit higher than some of us would have maybe liked. I'm going to start here with the two stories that are out there about how this thing came together. I have been told since very early on in the process that Austin and the Lakers were going to come to terms very quickly on a max contract, and that Austin's camp was very confident they were going to get it, and that the Lakers were very confident they were going to give it and get a good return for it, given that Austin has improved every year that he has been in the league. And now that differs, obviously, from the reporting from Shams Charania and from Mark Stein that I've seen, who said that this came together just now because maybe, just maybe, the Detroit Pistons are or were getting ready to do everything that they needed to do to give Austin offer Austin their max or his, the reason that I stand by my story is, for one thing, it's what I've been told, and I stand by my reporting here, but it's for a few reasons. One, because I heard this max number. I didn't hear about the years. That is what's different. I thought maybe it would be the 5-year full max that Austin could possibly get. But I thought that, you know, it was always heading in this direction. You can ask Pete and you can ask Jovan in our group text there that, you know, I said pretty early on, I'm pretty sure, according to people close to the Lakers, that Austin was going to get this number. The other reason that I stand by my reporting here is the actual behavior of some of these teams, right? So Brooklyn was the team going into Austin's free agency that everybody said was going to do everything in their power, was the greatest threat to sign Austin away from the Lakers. But basically, you know, dating back to last year, all they've done is acquire ball handlers. And then now this year, they used a big chunk of their salary cap that would have otherwise gone to Austin on acquiring Julius Randle, somebody who stops the ball, who's a ball stopper, and is not very good in the pick and roll, which is something that Austin thrives in. So that actual behavior, not alleged behavior, not reported behavior, Brooklyn was the team that everybody, you know, kind of highlighted and circled as the team that was going to sign Austin to the contract that would threaten to take him away from the Lakers. They never really made a run at Austin, you know, with their actual behavior this year. We could talk about, you know, Detroit and their, you know, them being a threat if they did everything that they needed to do to free up enough space to sign Austin. But even there, like, they didn't do it, right? Like, they said, they might have said, we were trying, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, but they didn't actually do it in the way that Brooklyn actually stuff. So I stand by my reporting here that this was a number that both sides, you know, knew that this was going to. As far as the 4-year or the third year player option thing, I'm told that is an approach so that Austin can hit the market again when he is still in his prime and get another contract around the time that he would have 10 years of service under his belt, and the contract numbers would go up at that time. That's why the most he could make here was 25% of the cap, is because of the amount of service time he has under his belt right now. Like, this is a deal that came together relatively quickly. This is a contract that, it's not like the Lakers are sitting here saying, oh gosh darn it, Detroit was thinking about trading people to bring in Austin, now we have to this reporting about the noise here that is coming from, or the, I guess it is reporting that is coming from Shams and Stein here about, like, Detroit being a threat. That to me feels like Rob kind of protecting himself a little bit here from criticism, you know, that might come from giving Austin his full max at a time where the Lakers were supposedly trying to have as much flexibility now and moving forward that they could. Look, at no point were the Lakers ever nervous that Austin was going to go anywhere. At no point did I ever get the sense from anybody that I spoke to that Austin was ever going anywhere. And now here he is. So let's talk about Austin at this number and why it really isn't the crazy idea that, you know, some, especially in this chat and in comment sections and in mentions everywhere, are reacting to it as. So Austin making 25% of the cap, starting his contract, I think it's at $41.7 million next year. That sounds like a lot. It is a lot. $41 million. It basically means that he and Luka need to be kind of the backbone and the foundation of a championship level team. And look, if you have questions about that, I don't even necessarily fully disagree. You know, the Lakers, you know, did need to. I still need to bring in enough athleticism and length and tenacity to kind of make up for Luka and Austin's deficiencies in those departments. And defensively, they need a defensive anchor at the center position, and that's something that obviously they are still working really hard to do. So like, there's a lot of work that needs to be done here. But if you risk losing Austin outright. Like, what I will say, even while I, you know, just said a second ago about how, like, there was never any threat that Austin was ever going to go anywhere. That was because the Lakers always knew that they couldn't welcome any kind of a threat for Austin to go anywhere. And so, like, with Detroit and with Brooklyn and with any other dark horse team that, you know, that could have signed Austin away, the Lakers couldn't afford to mess around here and, you know, risk losing Austin for nothing. Even if those questions remain about Austin and Luka's long-term fit defensively. The good news I would say about this contract is that it is short, like 3 years before he becomes a free agent potentially. He does have that player option, which is something that like some teams will kind of shy away from in trades. But at the end of the day, Austin was well on his way to being an all-star last year. Hell, he was, before he got hurt, he was well on his way to factoring into the All-NBA conversation, given the way that he was playing. Sure, you could point to some of his playoff deficiencies and some of his performances there. But if you go back and you watch that Oklahoma City series that he came back from injury to participate in, I thought he was getting better over the course of that series. I thought he was kind of figuring him out. And the big thing with Austin is that I think he can sometimes get sped up by defensive pressure from the other team and length and athleticism from the other team. But he, I thought in that series, was doing a really good job of slowing himself down, operating in the mid-range, and not going into any kind of a sprint dribble that would, you know, get him out of control and have him turning the ball over. So I would, you know, probably say here with, you know, this contract, the Lakers signed him to it, understanding that he is going to continue to get better in that regard too. I would also say that if he's going to live up to this contract, he needs to be a much better shooter than he was last year, and he needs to get better in catch and shoot situations when the ball is being rotated over to him from Luka sets. I you know, there's room for nuance here, but one thing I think we can all agree on is that if you let Austin walk for nothing in a year that the Lakers are already struggling to improve their roster, like, we've already seen how difficult it is for the Lakers to add a center here. If the Lakers, like, if you guys have your way, or some of you guys have your way in the chat, who are just like, yeah, let LeBron go away and let Austin go away and screw Rui, get him out of here too. And now all of a sudden you go into an offseason that the Lakers have already struggled to fill out their roster with improve their roster in, you're going to now make it that much more difficult by getting rid of Austin's 23-5-5 last year. You're going to make it that much more difficult by getting rid of LeBron's production without, you know, any immediate replacement, you're going to make it that much more difficult by getting rid of Rui's floor spacing without any immediate replacement. I just think, you know, some of the comments about like, oh, just get that guy out of here can be very short-sighted. I understand it. Fandom is emotional. I'm not going to tell you guys how to fan, but I will tell you guys like the ramifications if the stuff that you ask for, you know, did come to pass. So I think what the Lakers understood going into this summer and what Austin and his camp very much understood going into the summer was that the Lakers could not risk Austin walking for nothing. And as such, Austin and his camp and his agent, Aaron Riley, and all of AMR, basically, they came together, worked with Rob Pelinka, said, let's just figure this out with no drama. And that's how this played out is what I've heard. So let's go ahead and move on to what the Lakers are now trying to do in preparation for tonight's second round. As I said at the top, according to league sources and sources close to the Lakers, I am told that they are trying to buy into the second round. Remember last year they bought into like later into the second round and then used the pick that they bought as well as some of the money that they had left over to then buy or to trade up in last year's second round. And then they did it again. And then they took Adu Thiro what was it, 33? I think they selected him at the 33rd pick. So this morning, the Lakers started it off really quickly by contacting teams around the league to see what it would cost to buy into the second round. They are trying, I'm told, really hard to do so. I am told that like they're always going to take the best player available. Just like last night, they took the best player available with Cameron Carr, who again we'll talk about here in a second. But they I would like for the best player available to fall to them and have that be like their third string center going into next year rather than it being like a two-way big as Timmy was last year or Koloko was the year before. Not saying they don't like Timmy. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back on a two-way contract. But I think they would like, you know, kind of a longer term cost controlled center at that third string spot who develops into, you know, maybe a larger part of their rotation moving forward. I'm still told that it does feel very to be back next year. And how they handle that is going to be interesting. It's been weird over the course of the summer. There's been a lot of like, well, maybe, you know, DeAndre Ayton's going to opt out and maybe he's going to opt out. But did hear over the course of last night that like that is by no means a foregone conclusion. So there's a possibility here that Ayton is back next year. So it might just be that they go into a, you know, next season I think they would prefer a better center rotation than this, but like a, you know, kind of piece together, Ayton, maybe like Robert Williams, Hayes trio of centers with like fourth stringer or another two-way guy, you know, who plays who they select in tonight's second round. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that the Lakers are trying to navigate here with the second round, in that like, so the two picks that are kind of very widely reported on as available are from the Memphis Grizzlies and the New York Knicks. Now the Grizzlies are in a spot where they can be more flexible, like that from a cap sheet standpoint. So they can sell that pick and just get that windfall financially, or move back in the draft and get that windfall financially and still be fine. They're also really good at drafting, so they're probably really confident that they will find somebody throughout the second round. The Knicks are an interesting one here because James Dolan has not been shy about telling everybody how difficult it would be to keep this roster together and how the second apron might cost him Mitchell Robinson and or Landry Shamet. And if they lose those guys, then, you know, Dolan would have to replace them. And I think he would probably prefer to replace them with cost-controlled talent, younger talent, who he would find in the second round probably tonight, right? So he did pick up, or the Knicks did pick up several second-round picks last night. I do think that they are probably going to be looking to use a few of those second-round picks on players who fill rotation spots or roster spots that are left behind if Landry Shamet and Mitchell Robinson do become cap casualties. And that's where, like, you know, whatever pick they have, I think it's like 31 or 32. Well, I think it's 31. That pick that they hold right at the onset of, you know, the second round, which is essentially a first round pick that is now cheaper, especially in a draft like this, the Knicks, you know, they're going to say, well, we'll just use this pick if you, you know, don't promise to either use all of the cash that you could possibly send or don't have a second rounder as well as cash that they could then use on the cost controlled player who they are likely going to need. So, yeah, the Lakers, like I said, they're trying really hard to get into the second round. They would really like to get back into the second round. They like this draft quite a bit. They would like to you know, to take the best player available and have that player be a center. But I, you know, we'll see. You know, this is like I always try to say, when I report that the Lakers are trying to do something, there's an emphasis on try that sometimes gets lost there. Whether they're successful, we'll see. But that is something that they are really trying hard to do, is get back into the second round. Not making the mistake I did last year, where last year I had this information. I don't know if you guys, you know, to those of you who are longer time subscribers, last year I had this information, said, you know what, I'll just take a quick shower and I will, you know, record my offside video after I'm done with that and a couple of other things that I needed to do around the house. Nope. That was me being a dumbass. I am going on the record with that right now. The Lakers are trying to trade or trying to buy into the second round. And then I would imagine they're going to try to, you know, trade whatever pick they get later in the second round plus cash to then, you know, advance higher and higher into the second to hopefully get somebody who, you know, can be a part of their longer term plans while being cost controlled. Now that you have Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves at the contracts that they are going to be at moving forward. All right, let's talk about Cameron Carr, who the Lakers officially announced as this morning. He is, like I said last night, 6'5", with a 7'1" wingspan. He is an absolute stud athletically. I was talking to some scouts and stuff over the course of last night and this morning / afternoon. And essentially the sense I'm getting on him is he is an absolute bucket offensively. Movement shooter. You guys, you know, who have seen, hopefully you've seen him shoot already. That is a very silky stroke. Now, it's not exactly fast, I would say, and he's not huge. So, like, I do have some questions about his ability to get, like, his set shot off. But when he elevates and when he gets into his floater game and that, and because of how long his arms are, I do think he'll be a pretty successful shooter. I do see that shot translating over. He's a good free throw shooter in college, which tells me is usually a pretty good, you know, signifier of what kind of a shooter that player will be in the NBA from deep. So that was a good sign. Now, what I did hear is that he has, like, while he has clearly the tools to be a really good defender, his focus has always been more on the offensive side of the ball. And there is some question as to whether those tools will translate to being a really good defender. He's pretty slight of build, which, you know, is usually a pretty important factor in, you know, defensive ability. But, you know, he does have, like I did hear, he has a little bit of nastiness to him. He has a shit ton of confidence in himself as a scorer and as a prospect. And I have heard that he is, you know, he's the kind of guy who kind of who takes individual matchups very seriously. We'll just see to what extent he can become a team defender and an impact defender in the way that the Lakers obviously need him to be playing alongside Luka and Austin. So, Cam, I'm still really, really excited to see what kind of pro this guy turns into. He's the exact kind of build at that like 6'5", and like a legit 6'5", who, if he bulks up a little bit, can be that 2/3 that the Lakers need. Like, I know people saw 6'5" and thought combo guard from like a 1/2 standpoint, but I actually see him more as a 2/3 with some guard creativity skills. And that's usually an archetype who figures it out eventually in the NBA, right? We've seen it with Max Christie, saw it with Josh Hart. We've seen it with, you know, several examples of that player working out in the NBA. And I have a lot of confidence that this guy is going to as well. How about centers? Centers are you know, basically anybody I talk to, you know, we'll come back and say, yeah, the Lakers are pretty frantically working around the league to try to land themselves a center, right? We've heard, I reported their interest in Khalil Ware as part of that eventual Giannis trade to Milwaukee, if that trade expands before it's officially put into place. I have told you guys about their interest in Isaiah Stewart as well. You know, we know that Stewart is out there and available, and I think the Lakers would like to get their hands on him. If they run out of other options elsewhere. But you know, that I've told you guys about their attempts at landing Walker Kessler. I've told you guys about their attempts, at landing, Ezmisi, who, they liked dating back to last year. So, you know, in the draft, they've liked Robert Williams for a long time, and were just kind of nervous about him because of his health questions. Now, he didn't exactly answer those health questions, playing in 59 games and only about, like, you know, 17-ish minutes per game in the games that he was able to play while they were basically keeping him in plastic wrap to keep him available for the the playoffs, where, like, by the way, I thought he played really well against Wemby in that Blazers Spurs first round series. So, like, Robert Williams is somebody who I think we should probably keep an eye on in free agency. Mitchell Robinson is considered likely even to leave New York. So if he departs, then that is a player that the Lakers, you know, if I remember correctly, Mitchell Robinson was one of the players that the Lakers worked out individually during the draft process and liked him quite a bit. So, like, he's somebody who I'm, you know, I believe that the Lakers will continue to kick the tires on and keep an eye on. But the Lakers, like, you know, they have DeAndre Ayton and his player option decision, which has to come in the next 5 days or so. They have Jackson Hayes as somebody who, a lot of people expect it, you know, will eventually resign with the Lakers. If Hayes resigns, I think there's a decent shot that he resigns at a number above the veteran minimum so that the Lakers have like a mid-tier salary, that would be expiring that they could use in trades potentially. So keep an eye on that as a possibility. And then, yeah, like I said, you know, if they are successful in trying to trade into the second round of tonight's draft, you know, the center spot will be a focus there. I mean, hell, they could buy a second rounder and then turn around and trade it for somebody who might be available now. So via trade. So they're doing everything that they can. Obviously, they no longer have the first round pick that they used last night at their disposal as they look to try to trade for a center. We also know that Rob Pelinka doesn't like to go into a season without a first rounder at his disposal. So I would be pretty surprised. Like it would have to be like a bona fide stud for the Lakers to use multiple first rounders on a trade target at the center position. I know a lot of people are hoping that they trade for like a Herb Jones or a Trey Murphy, but everybody around the league is kind of rolling their eyes at how high the Pelicans have set prices on those guys. So tonight it's going to be an active night. It's going to be an active second round of the draft tonight. And the Lakers, I'm told, are incredibly active on several fronts, but kind of sort of starting at the center spot. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' questions. We have some supers, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show.
Run it back! Run it!
Whoa, 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 whoa! Producer, what the hell?
Fuck Washington!
All right, so the first question here that comes from Intel is Wild is, the deal is horrible. This management sucks. Fuck Boston. Well, agreed on the final aspect of this comment. Still very iffy about the front office and whether they should stick around long term. The one thing that I will say, and I have said all along throughout this thing, is that, you know, if this summer doesn't go to, you know, isn't as successful as Rob Pelinka promised it would be, I do think Mark Walter and his people will kind of start, you know, some conversations around the league to see who might be available to replace Rob Pelinka, you know, in the next couple of years or so. I would prefer it to be like, if this summer isn't very successful, and like, if they basically go into next year with a lot of the same, like if with basically the same roster as last year, I would say like, it would be completely within fans' right to start, you know, the fire Rob movement. Now I did like last night's pick. I wasn't exactly thrilled when I looked around the league and I saw these giant rooms filled with people that whose opinions and voices were going into their draft decisions. That doesn't mean that the Lakers are incapable of making a bad draft decision, but it did stand out how small the Lakers draft room was last night compared to basically every other draft room that I saw. So that stood out quite a bit. And as far as like this deal being horrible, like I think it really kind of depends on your expectations. Like I wasn't exactly shocked when I saw this number. I was made, you know, it's perfectly fine for fans in this CBA to maybe hope that guys take a little bit, a little bit less, so that, you know, their team can have that much more flexibility. But Austin's number doesn't vote, like, because I think that the Lakers are probably going to operate as an above the cap team in some way, shape, or form this year. And if they do that, then Austin's number this year doesn't really impact their efforts in that regard. And I don't know. Like I'm not willing to call this deal horrible. Now, could it be horrible? Yeah, like it could, right? If Austin returns next year and is the exact same player at $41 million as he was at 14, then yeah, I would probably say that would be a kick in the nuts. The Lakers expect him to improve. He has improved every year that he's been in the league. And look, the other thing I'll say about this contract takes Austin from fun story to this point, huge organizational win to this point, to now, all right, man, like it's go time. And Now, you know, I believe he would accept that challenge. He and his camp are very aware of what that means. And I would 100% believe that Austin is going to continue to improve to make it so that this deal isn't horrible. But now that he is getting paid like this, the gauntlet has been thrown, and he is now expected to perform at and above that level, especially if, as this contract was built out to be, especially if he is looking for another big contract beyond this one, then you really better put up over the next 3 to 4 years. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm not willing to call it horrible, but I also will grant you guys the possibility that it could be if, you know, if Austin doesn't take another step forward next year from what we saw last year. Next comment that I can get to here comes from Ryan Lucas. Trevon Brazil on LA's radar. Rodder, wow. For the second round, MPJ with age. So as far as like the specifics of who the Lakers are targeting, that's not, I haven't really heard that. It's an incredibly small, like as we saw last night, an incredibly small draft room. I had heard that there was some intrigue in Cam Carr. The Lakers were really reluctant to put it out there that Cam was somebody that they liked, because as he started falling, it was like, no way. And then eventually he did, and the Lakers didn't want any other team to get the sense that they wanted him and, you know, to be able to use that against them to, you know, to really force them to move up to grab Carr. But yeah, I think that, you know, as far as Brazil in particular, I honestly haven't really heard much about him. I'll Google him and I will find some clips on him, in preparation for tonight's draft. The first thing that we have to find out that I'm, you know, going to continue working on is what area in the draft that the Lakers, are, you know, successfully or at least making some progress at buying into. And then from there, we'll get a sense of like who might be available in that area, what else the Lakers might be doing to move up beyond that spot and where they might finally wind up. All of that good stuff hopefully leads to, you know, a solid second round pick. All right, the next question here comes from, the next comment comes from, where is it? Come on. Let's Run UNLV writes, this contract kind of guarantees that Austin will be traded at some point for Austin. This contract kind of guarantees that Austin will be traded at some point. At some point, period. There's no period there. For Austin, it's an A+. For the Lakers, it's an F-. Awful day for Chip aspirations. I don't know. Like, so Trae Young signed his contract yesterday that starts in like the 50s, right? Like he signed a giant contract. And to me, how I grade a contract is not just necessarily what kind of production I'll get from the player on that contract, but almost more importantly, which teams are going to be willing to trade for that player at that contract. And in like just very quickly asking around the league, you know, like, would this be a deal that teams would, you know, be open to trading for? I was told yes, that yeah, like there's a reason Detroit was ready to max this dude out, allegedly. There's a reason that Brooklyn was, you know, ready to line up a max contract for Austin if they didn't think that he was never going to actually reach the open market. There's a reason that, you know, he was considered one of the higher tier unrestricted free agents this year, and that's why he's able to sign this contract. So, like, so long as he comes into next year and plays slightly above to well above, like, the caliber of basketball that we saw from him last year. Shit, if he just comes into next season and plays at the level that he did last year at the beginning of the year, where, again, there were talks about him at an all-NBA, like, in the all-NBA discussion. Now, because he's a Laker, like, there's a decent chance that that wouldn't have come to fruition because voters don't exactly love this organization. But, like, that was a very real conversation. Had he not gotten hurt, he almost definitely would have been an all-star. So the idea that the league would not want to trade for an all-star in his 20s who can create a shot for himself, get to the free throw line, and create shots for other players. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I know that you guys are kind of frustrated with the fact that the Lakers aren't as close as we would like for them to be to winning a championship. But I don't think that Austin is the problem there. Now, this contract makes it so that if he doesn't live up to it, he could become the problem. But, like, to this point, I've never thought to myself, man, you know, the thing stopping the Lakers from competing for a championship is Austin Reeves. No, like, the thing stopping the Lakers from competing for a championship is the fact that, like, last year their best center was Jackson Hayes heading into the playoffs, and that, or 2 years ago, their best center was Jackson Hayes heading into the playoffs, or last year their best center heading into the playoffs was DeAndre Ayton. That's their problem. And until that gets sorted out, that's going to continue to be their problem. Now, at this amount of money, Austin is supposed to make up for that being their problem. And we'll see to what extent he's able to do that. But I think people are hyperventilating over a contract right now. That sounds really, it is really, really big. $40 million a year is a lot of money. But like, when you compare it to guys who are in that kind of price range, let alone making more, I think you guys would, you know, stop breathing into a bag, or at least maybe start breathing into a bag to kind of calm down a little bit. Let's see. We got another one. Matthew the Sicilian. Hey, Anthony, been hearing a lot about his athleticism. What about his basketball IQ? Any sense on that? So that is, it's not the same. It's not a question to the same extent that it was with Dalton, or that it certainly has become with Dalton. I get the sense that Carr is more interested in learning and growing that developing that basketball IQ than Dalton has become, or than Dalton has shown to this point. Like, Dalton intellectually, basketball intellectually is the exact same player mentally right now that he was when he was drafted. And from what I've kind of heard and talking to scouts and through my conversations, what I've kind of heard is that, like, Carr is when he gets to the league is going to be more interested in learning than Dalton has been so far. So, like, a lot of times curiosity defines IQ, like, you know, intellectuality, you know, it's, and that's not just from a basketball standpoint, that's just in life. If you aren't, like, some of the dumbest people I have ever encountered in life were just not curious at all. And you know, because it's through curiosity that you, like, search out subjects that you would like to learn more about. And you know, through enough of those searches become a more well-rounded intellectual presence or whatever. Like Dalton, from a basketball standpoint, this sometimes I think gets in the way of KD it with his basketball IQ, where like he thinks of basketball through this very narrow prism. And I think that has kind of limited his intellectual growth as he's been in the NBA. And I think Dalton is like the nth degree example of this, where it's like Dalton, you know, why don't you consider getting better? I'm a bucket. Okay. from what I've heard about Carr, that is not the case. But you just never know, man. Like I've never spoken to this dude. He played at Baylor, which I guess technically is like a couple hours up the street from me, but that's about it. All right. Man, lots of questions. All right. I think we are good here. So I'm going to keep this one a little shorter. Obviously, we went really long last night. And then depending on what happens in the second round tonight, we might get the plan is to record another series of episodes there as well. So I'm going to go ahead and pop on out of here. And we'll go ahead and see what else comes of, you know, Austin's contract and the Lakers' efforts to trade for a center and the Lakers' efforts to trade into the second round or buy into the second round. And if we get breaking news, then I will hop back on here to break down the breaking news. So have a great, we got one more. Greenlight Transport 8320 writes, wouldn't be awesome if we got Claxton for nothing? Oh, never mind. Rob already screwed that up. We can't get Kessler or Duren, run it back with DA cooked. I will say the doom and gloom that people are feeling for the Lakers' search for centers, I think, is a lot better placed angst than how people have been talking about this Austin Reaves contract. Like, I am a lot more frustrated over the fact that you had years to plan for this, and when you finally arrived at the summer of 2026, your best bet was, hey, we'll make a really big offer to Kessler, which could cost you LeBron and Rui. And then if you don't get Kessler, then you lose LeBron and Rui, and you're worse now than you were at the onset of the summer. So, like, Rob's handling of the center position, at least so far, we don't know what is going to come of the next however many days and weeks or whatever, but I'm a lot more annoyed at how the center situation has played out than I am at the contract that Austin just signed. I think it's a very movable contract. I'm thrilled for Austin and his camp. And this is where sometimes my job as a reporter gets kind of difficult. I will 100% cop to the fact that I am not completely unbiased when it comes to Austin and his camp. Aaron and I have talked well into the night at various moments, like just kind of talking about like our paths to where we finally are now. Austin is a guy who came from nothing. I think I can maybe tell the story now, but like when Austin got to the Lakers, the joke was that Rob barely even knew his name. And then he's grown to where he is now, where he gets this max contract. I think he literally made history here by, signing this contract, signing this max contract. I think the first ever undrafted player to sign a max contract. He arguably could go down as maybe the best undrafted free agent who has ever played in the NBA. So like I'm a lot more annoyed from a basketball roster building perspective and like just like a personal standpoint that Rob Pelinka, somebody who you guys know this, I don't necessarily respect to the extent that maybe I should, as an executive, he made this, you know, grand plan of optionality based on cap space at a time where cap space, maybe like you can make an argument, has never been less valuable. And we'll see what comes of it. But as it stands right now, the center search has been a lot more annoying to me than whatever contract Austin signed out, whether it was this one, a 5-year max, whatever it was. Maybe it's because I knew this was coming, but you know, I'm also not going to tell you how to feel. Like, if you are annoyed at this contract, then fine, be annoyed at it. And then maybe Austin can either prove you incorrect or correct. And if he proves you correct, the doubters correct, then I'll sit right here and say, yep, all right, that was a bad contract. And then it's about, you know, pivoting at that point, if you're the Lakers, to bring in a player who maybe makes more sense than Austin does playing alongside Luka. If he proves me correct, however, surely the internet will put their hand up and say, nope, my bad, that was a good call. All right, that is definitely going to do it here. Have a great rest of your however long I'm off the air. Have a great rest of your afternoons. Make somebody else's. Please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Subscribe or please go to Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. Make a $5 lineup of your own. Get 50 free bucks $50 of lineups on Prize Picks. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys within minutes potentially. I'll talk to you.